नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल्ड योगा ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सन टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं वापि भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितम् विमूढानानुपश्यन्ति पश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषा। ट्रांसलेशन। द फूलिश कैनॉट अंडरस्टैंड how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Jnana Chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances and is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and is enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Before I begin, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present. Although I am unqualified, I am very grateful for this opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord for my own purification. So today, just to recap, we are in the 15th chapter, Yoga of the Supreme Person. In last few days, Lord is describing here about the material world in the form of a banyan tree, and how it's very entangling, and how he's explaining that how the soul, which is caught up in the entanglement of this material existence, can actually get out of this material world. He's explaining the procedure. So in one of the verses yesterday, it was explained how, depending upon the consciousness a person develops, and depending upon the consciousness one quits his body, he attains next life. Like in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, the Lord says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one has at the time of death, accordingly one achieves the next life. So he explained, the Lord explained how one should actually use his human life to purify his consciousness. Because the original nature of the consciousness is Jivera Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das, that we are eternally connected to Supreme Lord as his eternal servants. So the purpose of human life is to come to this original consciousness. And the previous verse explains that how, depending upon the mind, and the mind which associates with whatever material qualities, we develop certain sort of attachments. And depending upon the state of our mind, our next life is decided. So here, in this present verse, Lord is explaining that how the foolish people, in the Sanskrit it's vimuda, the Lord is chastising, vimuda he is saying. The vimuda, the people who are foolish, they cannot see that the soul is different from the body and the goal of life is to inquire about the Supreme Lord and how one can get out of this material world. One has to inquire, but the foolish people become absorbed in their materialistic activities. They forget that they have to use their time in this way, which the Lord has given. So therefore, Lord is chastising as Vimuda. And then he explains about one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Fortunately, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we are here hearing this knowledge and discussing. So today we are able to see that, we are able to understand that we are not this body, we are soul. But there are many people outside world, they are completely absorbed in their activities, not knowing where they are going in their life and what they are going to achieve in their life. So Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita here, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. Only the person whose eyes, who is having the knowledge, he only can see. So I will just try to elaborate whatever Prabhupada has written in the purport. Try to elaborate on this topic of that why one needs spiritual knowledge and why the foolish people cannot see and what is the duty of those who have gained this spiritual knowledge, as Prabhupada writes in the purport. The first, Prabhupada writes about these vimudas. Prabhupada, in the translation, he writes that foolish people cannot see that life is temporary. So, in the same word, muda, appears in the 7th chapter also in the Bhagavad Gita, explaining that how namam muda dishkrituna, explains in the Bhagavad Gita in 7th chapter that mudas are those who are simply interested in working very hard for the sake of basic necessities. And they don't want to inquire about who am I, who is God, and they are very busy. Like many times we go for book distribution. Our devotees recently, last month marathon, they had wonderful experience of book distribution. So it was not that whomever they showed Bhagavad Gita, they all took. Like one devotee was saying that while going in train, he was just made an announcement that please take Bhagavad Gita. So one person from behind patted and told that whoever will take Bhagavad Gita in this coach, I will sponsor them full. So this devotee was struggling for last 1 hour, not even one book went. So he was very happy. He was thinking, okay, now at least it's going to be free. So he announced immediately saying that Hare Krishna, ye sponsor karne wale hai Bhagavad Gita. Pura, you can take it free. So he announced very enthusiastically, and to his surprise, no one was ready to take the book. So he again announced. So one person, after hearing for some time, he just suddenly grabbed, knowing that, just out of, in a shyful way, he just grabbed it. So we can see how people, when it comes to spiritual knowledge, they are averse. Why? Because they are very attached to their own materialistic way of life. The Prabhupada writes in the purport, in this verse, Namam Dushkritano Moda, Prapadyante and Naradhama. He writes in this verse that there are four types of people who do not surrender to God. And one of the four types are those who are very engrossed in their improving their comforts, trying to make money. And therefore, they do not see what is the reality of this world. So Prabhupada writes, they do not mind working very hard, even up to the pain of taking ulcers. And they undergo the pain of getting ulcers and lots of diseases because of working very hard day and night, serving so many masters. But Prabhupada writes that they are not interested in inquiring about spiritual life. And then Prabhupada gives the analogy that such type of people are considered to be like beasts of burden compared to the ass. Like ass works hard day and night, very faithfully serves the master, and he takes all the load and hoping that this is really the goal of my life. He's working very, very hard day and night. And then in this way, same way, even materialistic person who is not having any spiritual goal, he is also working in the same way, just for the sake of basic necessities. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by the Shringi Brahmin to die in 7 days, he approaches the sages of Naimisharanya, and he inquires from Sukhdev Goswami that what is the duty of a person who is about to die. So in the second canto, Sukhdev Goswami starts speaking that such type of question is the best of all questions, which are worth hearing. And therefore he goes on to explain very, very nice verse. He says, Deha patya kalatradishva atma sainyeshva asatvapi teshan pramatto nidanam pashyan apina pashyati. The persons devoid of atma tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So the last line actually clarifies a lot. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So Prabhupada actually elaborates this line very nicely. Prabhupada, in the purport, he writes, this material world is Martyaloka, world of death. We see every living being in this world, coming from Lord Brahma to an ant, every living being has to die. At some point, no one can escape this harsh reality of this world. And then Prabhupada explains that how a person actually sees their ancestors, their great-grandfathers, their fathers, everyone die. And a person is always planning. Like Radha Gopinath Prabhu in Six Session course, he says that even if you ask an 80-year-old man, he will have a 20-year plan. Everyone is thinking that I am going to live another 20 years and I will have a nice life, enjoy life. I'll earn lot of money and I'll take care of my family members very nicely, and I'll be very peaceful and happy, and I will overcome all my challenges, obstacles, and I don't need all this, who am I, who is God, I don't need all these questions, because I'm sufficiently happy working very hard to take care of my dependents. So Prabhupada writes, such is the nature of foolish people that they are not able to see the reality of this world. That life is temporary. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Everything in this world is temporary and source of misery. So, but real intelligent person is one who understands. So therefore here, in a very sarcastic way, Shukdeva Goswami is saying, Pashyen appi na pashyati. That they see, but they do not see. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So, like I heard from Radhesham Prabhu's books, he gives a example of a goat who is standing in line to get slaughtered. So the goat is very happy chewing the grass, green grass, not knowing that it is the next one to get slaughtered. So in the same way, persons in this world who are very eager to get success, money, fame, and trying to achieve status and position in this world, they forget that Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki jai. They forget that ultimately everything is going to be snatched away by time. So Prabhupada therefore Krishna is chastising that Vimudas actually cannot see because of too much attachment to their own selfish goals. They are not able to see that what is the real benefit for the soul, because they are too attached giving pleasure through their own body and senses. So this is the nature of people who are too engrossed. So if you can see in today's Western culture, and people who are running after money and trying to satisfy their selfish desires, they are not at all interested in any spiritual questions. Why? Because they are too attached. Prabhupada writes in the purport, because of lust and desire, one loses all power to see this reality. So spiritual life is all about curing this disease of lust, by which we lose the desire, we'll overcome this desire to become the enjoyer by having knowledge. We understand that Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gnyatvamam Shantim Richyate. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. That by engaging in devotional service, we understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we are meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. And by that, we'll overcome all these anarthas. But as long as we are attached to our own fulfilling our own sensual desires, we'll never be able to see the reality. Who am I? I am not this body. I am soul. Who is God? What is my relationship with God? It's very difficult. That's why, like we can see in the story of Ravana. Ravana, he was constantly being told. He was being told that do not enjoy Sita. She is the property of Lord Ram. She is actually the wife of consort of Lord Ram. So give up your lusty desires. Give up your selfish desire for selfish enjoyment. Mandodari was trying to warn him, and many other demons were trying to warn him. Give up your selfish desires. But Ravan, because he was too obsessed, he couldn't hear. Even though he was being given good advice, he couldn't hear. So that's the nature of lust. That when we are too obsessed with the desire for sense enjoyment, even good advice doesn't enter our ears. So therefore, Krishna is chastising here, Vimudas. They cannot see. Because even after good advice, people are too attached to sense gratification. They cannot hear. Therefore, one needs to take association of those who are spiritually enlightened. By that, by constant hearing, at least one day we'll realize. By constantly hearing we can actually be happy by serving Krishna and not by serving our own senses. Right now, because of intense lust and because of engagement in activities of sense gratification, life after life after life, because we are so much attached to the bodily conception of life, we cannot see that actually by pleasing Krishna, the soul can actually really experience real satisfaction. But by hearing from those who have realized, we'll slowly develop faith and actually engage in the process of Krishna consciousness happily. So Prabhupada here says jnana chakshu is a very significant word, Prabhupada says. Why he is saying significant? Like I was hearing one lecture, it was explained that jnana chakshu means seeing through the eyes of great souls. By hearing from the great souls, we can actually see this world through their eyes. So by that, actually we'll see reality. Because right now we are conditioned by the bodily conception of life. We see everything with I, me and mine. That it's meant for my enjoyment. And we'll see friends and enemies. Someone who is giving me sense gratification, they are my friends. Someone who is not giving me sense gratification, they are my enemies. And because of this false ego of being the enjoyer, we will not be able to see the reality. But when we hear from the great souls, when we see through their eyes, then we actually will be able to see the reality. That how everyone is actually an eternal servant of Krishna. And Krishna is the real friend. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. That Krishna is the real friend of everyone. And I am simply meant to serve the will of the Lord. This we'll be able to realize only when we hear from those who have actually realized. That's why it's very important to hear from great souls. And why jnana chakshu? Because we see, Prabhupada explaining here in the previous verses, our present actions affect our future destination. So when we have knowledge, we can act rightly. So when we hear what is right, what is wrong, from the scriptures, from the acharyas, and from the bona fide representatives of the disciplic section, when we hear, we'll understand what is right action, what is wrong action, what is favorable for the soul, and what is unfavorable. What will lead to the ultimate goal of life and what will lead to degradation of the soul to hellish planet. When we have knowledge, we'll act rightly. So therefore, it's very important to hear and understand what is good for us. And by regular hearing and by practicing devotional service, we'll understand. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam. For one who is engaged in devotional service, I give the intelligence by which he can come to me. So when we engage in hearing from those who are realized, and by practicing the process of devotional service, we'll actually understand what is good for me and what is good for others, and we'll act accordingly. If not, what will happen is, we'll not act properly, and that will not only harm others, but ourselves also. So therefore, we need to hear that how human life is very rare. In the previous verses, he explained that how the soul is transmigrating from body to body. Depending upon the status of the mind, he gets a different body in next life. So we hear that how the soul is transmigrating from body to body in search of fulfilling his desires. He's traveled through 84 lakh species of life. And after traveling like this, finally he achieves a human form of life. And only in human form of life we can actually inquire that who is God and why am I suffering? And we can actually find a solution to get a we can actually inquire for a permanent solution for all this suffering only in human form of life. Other forms of life, other species, they are just bound to suffer their karma. But human form of life, we have, by the Lord's grace, we are given the intelligence and the reasoning power to actually inquire what is good for me. And therefore, one should not waste his human form of life without developing the knowledge of the soul. Like Ishopanishad says this word in Sanskrit, Atmaha. He says, one who doesn't inquire about the soul and his relationship to God and simply leads in his human life for the basic necessities of the body, he is actually a killer of the soul. That he is not actually worrying about his own self. Before showing compassion to many others, we can show compassion to ourselves. We can worry that the soul has been suffering for millions of lives in this material world. And this is a chance to actually get out of this material world. Like, I was just, when I was thinking about this verse, I remembered how when a person is not having knowledge, to what extent he can go. Like, while I was studying, doing my graduation, I had one friend who was also doing engineering, and he was from a very good family background, very cultured, and from day one I was seeing that he didn't have any bad habits or something like that. But when he came to when he started studying, and as years passed, because of bad association, as hostel, many people know what happens in hostels. So because of bad association, he was spending too much time in watching movies and not worrying about his studies. And he came to IIT thinking that his parents sent him to IIT thinking that he will do great, he will achieve great heights in his career. But because of his bad association, he was spending, wasting his time, not worrying about his studies. And in IIT, like, if you fail in the exams for a certain number of times, they give a reminder saying that if you fail one more time, you will be kicked out of the institute. So this person, he got the warning saying that you already failed 7 times. It was 4th year, and he got the last warning saying that if you fail once more, we are very sorry to inform that you will be sent out of IIT without any degree. So after 4 years of study, just imagine, he's told after that too, after such a hard work, he's told to leave IIT. But this person actually was, fact that he was in such an institute, I could see actually that, because I was a close friend, so I could see actually he was very intelligent. He didn't like his department, engineering, physics, and he never understood what is going on. But somehow he liked the software field, and he created a search engine inside the IIT, something on the level of Google. Google is one of the topmost search engines, and he created a search engine like that. So he was actually very intelligent. But somehow, because of his lack of interest in studies and bad association, he couldn't cope up. And unfortunately, he gets the final saying that we are very sorry, you have flunked again in one more exam, so you have to leave IIT. And for him, this was a complete shock because his parents had so much hope from him, so seeing that he will do very well in his exams and he will do wonders. And this person was completely shocked. So because he couldn't show his face to his family members, and mind is such a tricky thing that he actually couldn't digest that failure. Although he was a very intelligent person, mind is such a tricky thing that he couldn't actually digest that failure. And the next day he actually committed suicide by hanging himself in his room, which was just in the floor above my floor while I was studying in my third year. So actually we can see that how if a person doesn't know spiritual knowledge, we can see commonly nowadays students committing suicides, corporate people committing suicides out of stress. It's very common nowadays. People are taking drugs, sleeping pills. I know so many people who take sleeping pills because of immense pressures in their jobs and work life. And some small battles with their colleagues, they cannot digest it. And they almost, today morning, or someone I don't remember, he was saying that in America, most of the people in their dreams, they always dream about killing their bosses. So such stressful life. So we can actually see that when we don't have spiritual knowledge, we can actually commit blunders in our life and lose a precious opportunity to know about our eternal relationship with the Lord. We lose that opportunity. And we actually do blunders. So therefore, Prabhupada many times writes in his purport, saying that the cause of all suffering is ignorance. When a person is ignorant of his constitutional position, of who he is, what is his relationship with the God, with the Lord, and what is the ultimate goal of life, and the nature of this material world, the nature of spiritual world, when a person is ignorant of this knowledge, he actually he suffers immensely. And because of ignorance, what happens? A person, because of ignorance of his own self, he starts engaging in all kinds of sinful activities. Sin means basically to disobey the laws of God. So just like in this society we all have certain laws, so similarly in this world there are certain laws. And just like Newton's law applies, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So similarly, whatever action we perform, it's going to result in a reaction. Like I was hearing one lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was explaining that how in today's world, people, because of ignorance of this law of karma, they are engaging in so many kinds of sinful activities. Like last few weeks, lot of discussion was going about cows. So we can see that people are engaged in cow slaughter, and there are some videos which actually show how piteously the cows are killed so mercilessly. In a very brutal way, they actually kill the cows for the sake of cosmetics or some products, for the sake of some consumer products. They kill the innocent animals like cows, and people engage, they do lot of, like Maharaj was explaining that how people are engaging in deforesting the natural resources, natural forests. And they are drilling the earth for oil for the sake of... So they are committing lot of abuse towards Mother Earth. So in Krishna book, if you read the first chapter, the Mother Earth, when she feels lot of burden of demoniac people, she goes crying to Lord Brahma, in turn to Lord Vishnu, saying that I cannot bear the burden of sinful people. So many times people think that there is so much population. So in the first chapter of Krishna book, we understand that how Mother Earth actually doesn't feel the burden of population, overpopulation also, if they are pious, if they are God conscious. But the more people become more and more sinful and more demoniac in their activities, the earth feels more and more burden. So the earth is a mother. She's also a person. So when she feels pain, the nature of this world is she will react. So Maharaj was actually giving this lecture during the time of tsunami. He was saying that when this tsunami actually struck the shores of some countries, some lakhs of people became completely homeless. And they lost all money, lost all their property, family members, whatever they accumulated throughout their life, worked so hard, hoping that they'll have a nice future. All that got smashed within few minutes because of the tsunami. So Maharaj was explaining that how this tsunami came actually was, there was an earthquake. The scientists have explained that how there's some earthquake beneath the shore. And because of this earthquake, the waves travel at very high speed. And these waves are not visible even by the satellites. They travel at very high speeds. And they become visible only when they reach the shore. When you see the blast. So similarly, Maharaj was explaining that all the sinful activities a person engages in, they are like these earthquakes. And the tsunami is coming. It's coming. We don't realize it. But when it hits the shore of our life, then we actually realize. Then we don't have any time to actually regret. That's only, then we have to just suffer. But a person who has knowledge, he understands that if I engage in sinful activities, it's going to cause me suffering in future. And when a person has higher understanding of the absolute truth, he understands that the soul actually suffers when the soul is not engaged in service of Krishna. Just like we hear this fish out of water. The soul, natural position of the soul is to be engaged in service of the Lord. Jivair Swarupaya Krishnair Nityadas. So when a fish is inside the water, he's very happy. But when he's outside the water, you may give whatever, you may think, nice bungalow, car, money, opposite sex, and so many allurements you may give, the fish will never be satisfied. The fish will be satisfied only when the fish is put back in water. Similarly, a person who is doing all kinds of activities, not engaged in service of the Lord, he may endeavor in various ways for satisfying his senses. But ultimately, he will experience only frustration and misery. But when a person is engaged in the service of the Lord, because the service of the Lord is actually satisfying the soul, he is completely satisfied. And we can actually realize this by seeing the lives of great souls. Like, Prabhupada writes, so the best way to receive this knowledge is by reading Bhagavad Gita and by hearing scriptures like Bhagavad Gita from representatives of the Lord. So, in the sixth session course, they give this analogy that Bhagavad Gita is like a manual. So, just like when you buy any product, we'll get a manual. And we'll understand what the product is meant for, how it is to be used, how it is to be repaired in case of some trouble. Everything is written in the manual. So, intelligent person is one who refers to the manual and acts accordingly. A person who is foolish, he thinks that I can work it out. But intelligent person is one who actually refers to the manual. So similarly, this world is created by the Supreme Lord. So to know how we can experience real happiness in this world, and what is the purpose of my life in this world, we can understand it perfectly by hearing it from the Lord Himself. Because He is the creator, He is the manufacturer, He is the creator of this world. So it's, we can actually understand what the life is, what human life is meant for by hearing from scriptures. Like there is one pastime which comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastime of the hunter Mrigari. So this once Narad Muni was going through the forest, and he sees some animals half dead. They were not killed completely. The animals were lying half dead. So he feels that he starts thinking, who has done this? While he walks by, he sees a hunter who was killing these animals. So he comes and asks this hunter that, why are you, who are you? So he says, I am Mrigari. And then he says, but why are you killing these animals half killed? Why are you leaving these animals half killed? Why don't you kill them fully? Because if you leave them half killed, they will suffer more, and you will have to suffer more in your future. So at least kill them full. So Mrigari says, O great sage, this is how my father has taught me. So this is how I have learned, and I feel great happiness in doing so, he says. The sage says, then Narad Muni says, can I ask you one thing? Can I beg you one thing? Narad Muni says. Then Mrigari says, yeah, you want deer skin, which skin you want, whatever you want, you can take. So Narad Muni says, I don't want any skin. Please do not kill these animals half killed. So then the hunter listens to him. And then Narad Muni starts preaching to him about explaining this knowledge of the soul, that how if you engage in such giving pain to these animals in future will be the cause of your death, and they will kill you. And he starts preaching to Narad Muni about spiritual knowledge. And by hearing the words of such a saintly person, who is the pure representative of the Lord, Mrigari says that, then what should I do? How can I overcome this suffering? I don't want to go to hellish planets. How can I overcome this? So Narad Muni says that right now you stop killing. But Mrigari says, then how will I sustain? Who will give me food? So Narad Muni assures, you just follow what I say, and I will see that you are provided in your, you and your family will be provided with sufficient food. So then Mrigari says, so what should I do now? So Narad Muni says, break your bow. So the acharyas explain that the bow represents the attachment of Mrigari, because he was thinking this bow was sustaining my life. But because of his surrender to a saintly personality, he obeyed his instruction, and that became the cause of transformation of his life. That he gave up his attachment and he gave importance to the words of Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni instructed him that now you go in the outskirts of the village, and you and your wife simply continue to chant the name of Lord Hari, and have a tulsi plant in front of your house, and constantly worship the tulsi plant and chant the name of Hari. And the Lord will provide whatever is necessary. Then Mrigari, who was a hunter, who was a degrade, who was at once upon a time he was killing half killing animals, and he was enjoying such a activity, such a degraded consciousness, he suddenly becomes a transformed to a Vaishnav, and he understands because of his surrender to Narad Muni, and he starts obeying and he starts following whatever he heard from Narad Muni. And just seeing the transformation of this hunter, the village people, they just feel wondered seeing the transformation of such a sinful person, such a hunter, into a great Vaishnav. And they start getting all the food and all the necessities, they start getting whatever is required to the hut where Mrigari was living. And it's explained that actually he was receiving 10 times more than what he actually required because of his surrender to Narad Muni. And Mrigari and Narad Muni, Mrigari and his wife, they accepted whatever was necessary for them and used to distribute whatever was excess. So in this way they started leading a spiritual life because of the knowledge which he received from Narad Muni. And after some time, Parvat Muni and Narad Muni come to visit Mrigari. Parvat Muni wanted to witness the transformation of this hunter Mrigari. So when he was coming, Mrigari saw Narad Muni and Parvat Muni from far. And when he saw, because out of his gratitude that he was saved by Narad Muni, out of his gratitude, he wanted to offer obeisances. So when he was about to offer obeisances, he saw that some ants were crawling. So he moved aside the ants and then he offered obeisances. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains actually this transformation of spiritual knowledge, that how when one receives spiritual knowledge, he actually becomes most compassionate, and to the extent that a person who was engaged in half killing the animals, he was compassionate towards even an insignificant living entity. That was the effect of spiritual knowledge, a person actually develops genuine compassion. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, in the last lines, he writes, "Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome." So Prabhupada is emphatically writing here what should be the duty of those who are developed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is writing, one should try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. So Prabhupada is actually, through this purport, is emphatically saying that what should be the duty of those who are received this knowledge by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, what should be their duty, that they should actually give this knowledge to their, based on their own capacity, ability. One should try to give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible, because Prabhupada is actually exhibiting his, through these lines, he actually exhibiting his mood of compassion, that he could have stayed in Vrindavan and he could have led a Krishna conscious life and be a very elevated sannyasi. But at the age of 70, he took severe inconveniences for the sake of giving this knowledge to those who are deprived of it. So we can actually learn from the life of Srila Prabhupada that by his grace actually we are all fortunately receiving this knowledge, and we are actually saved from leading a life devoid of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we should try to be instrumental in whatever capacity we have, according to whatever realization we have, We should try to be instrumental in the hands of those who have genuine compassion for the conditioned souls. So, thank you very much. We'll end here. And thank you very much for your kind attention. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any comments or questions? We'll now have Kirtan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You speak of philosophical knowledge and psychological, except like yesterday you were speaking about spirituality as a philosophical process and as a psychological.
I'm not able to hear you.
So, like what we spoke knowledge, like about Hare Krishna. So, philosophically made so many points about spiritual soul and, you know, God and like karma, so many things are there. We accept philosophically, like philosophically we understand, you know, realize that we accept philosophically. But point is that, whatever, maybe over capacity, how do you like translate into psychological acceptance, from philosophical acceptance to psychological acceptance? How do you, like you were saying yesterday, Kavirachandra, so how does it really go into psychology from the philosophical point of view?
Philosophically, we accept, but
how does it, how do you, you know, going from theoretical to psychological acceptance, how does it come about? Like, is there any particular, you have to just simply hear, or just simply you have to have additional steps, like from philosophical to psychological acceptance? You understand?
If I understood your question, basically, intellectually we understand, but how much conviction and faith do we have in the actual philosophy? How can we develop that? From the intellectual level, how can we go to the level of faith and conviction? Like in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that when we engage in the service of great souls who have that faith, then we'll actually develop the same faith by their blessings. So, by serving the instructions of those who are realized and those who are actually practicing this knowledge with full faith, by serving them, by their blessings, we'll develop faith. Because faith is, it's not a matter of quantifying. We can understand so much philosophy, intellectually we can have discrimination, but we'll develop faith only by the blessings. When Lord is pleased, then He will give us the faith. We cannot demand faith. And the Lord is pleased by our attitude, by our service, and by our sincerity. And when the representatives of the Lord in the form of Guru and Vaishnavas, when they are pleased, and by their blessings, we will develop faith in whatever we hear and whatever we understood intellectually. And by engaging in service, slowly, slowly we'll develop faith. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.